This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
As the great basketball philosopher Rasheed Wallace once said, ball don't lie. And on Sunday, when the NCAA tournament bracket was unveiled, it did not say the Longhorns were in the NCAA tournament. Hello again. Welcome back to another edition of the Drop and Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas from orangewoods.com. Selection Sunday has come and gone, and as expected, the Longhorns did not make the NCAA tournament. They have been relegated. Is that the best word? Probably. I mean, relegated to the NIT. I mean, because let's be honest, that's a gigantic step down. You know, people always ask, would you rather win the NIT or go one and done in the NCAA tournament? And the answer is always absolutely NCAA tournament. No disrespect to the teams playing in the NIT, but nobody really cares about the NIT. I mean, it's just, it's going to be a bummer to cover. Like, I know that, you know, it's more games for players and young players and things like that, but come on, man, it's the NIT. It's an NIT for a program like Texas that has gone to the NCAA tournament so much over the last years. I mean, Rick Barnes went 16 out of 17 times at Texas, and Shaka Smart has now missed the NCAA tournament two out of the 4 years he's been at Texas and two of the last 3 years. So this is not where Texas wants to be. It's definitely not where Texas should be. This was supposed to be, on paper, it was supposed to be Texas' best season under Shaka Smart. And it's right now 16-16 overall in an NIT. Texas will host Tuesday night at the Irwin Center. They will host South Dakota State. And I have no idea what that crowd is going to look like. They're not even opening the upper level, which I feel like they should do for a lot of basketball games, is just make everybody sit in the lower level. So who knows? I can tell you from my daily interactions on the orangewoods.com message board and reading Twitter and those things, at least the vocal people on social media are just done with this basketball program right now. It's very, 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 very small percentage of people that are interested or, you know, view an NIT tournament as something that could be a springboard moving forward, which, you know, Texas feels like it could. And of course it feels that way. You've got a lot of young players in your program that could potentially end on a high note. I mean, this is a program that hasn't won anything in a long, long time, even well before Shaka Smart. You know, it's a program that hasn't made it deep into the NCAA tournament in a long, long time. It's a program that hasn't won the Big 12 in a long, long time. So winning anything could be a step in the right direction for Texas, even if that means winning the NIT. But you know, the answer is always this. You'd rather be in the NCAA tournament than winning the NIT. It's just a reality of the situation. So that's where Texas basketball is right now. I don't get the sense that any fans at all are excited about that. There's a lot of frustration about Shaka Smart. There's a lot of frustration about the lack of progress in the program. And I'm curious to see just how these players react to being in the NIT. This is a team that thought it was going to be in the NCAA tournament before the year, during the year, not at the end of the year. I mean, Shaka Smart admitted they thought they had a very, very low percent to get in, and that's true. I think that they were in basically about 10% of the brackets that bracketmatrix.com tracks. I think there ended up being like 122 brackets or something like that, and Texas was in like 11 or 12 or something like that before the official bracket was unveiled. So very, very low percentile. I mean, we're talking 5 to 10% chance. Texas had a bunch of quality wins, but in the end, that 500 record is just too much to look past. So, yeah, how did the Texas players and program react to being in the NIT? It's a disappointing result. You know, again, this is a program, everybody associated with the program thought that this was an NCAA tournament team, and not just an NCAA tournament team, but a team that could do damage in the NCAA tournament. And instead, it's a 16-16 team that's playing a home game in the NIT against a South Dakota State program that went to the NCAA tournament the three previous seasons before this one. So this is a quality team that's going to be coming to the Irwin Center on Tuesday night. They're not very good defensively, although they're good at keeping teams off the offensive glass, and they also hardly ever foul and put guys on the free throw line. One of the better rates in the country in that regard. But they're not a good defensive team, but they can really shoot the basketball from all three levels. 3-2 free throw. I mean, this is one of the most efficient offenses in the country with one of the best offensive players in the country in senior forward Mike Dom. So it's going to be a challenge. It's very real that if Texas comes out and they're disappointed and they don't want to be in the NIT, South Dakota State could win that game by double digits and go on to the next round, because I guarantee you they're going to have interest in this game. Yeah, they went to the NCAA tournament the last three seasons, but it's South Dakota State. I mean, postseason basketball, they're going to be fired up for that. And I just have no idea how Texas is going to take the floor. I mean, do they want to prove something? Do they want to keep playing basketball this season? Or are they just ready to pack it in and feel sorry for themselves that they didn't make the NCAA tournament, just kind of end a disappointing season in a fitting way? We'll see. One guy Texas won't have for the NIT, well, we know for sure he won't play on Tuesday, and Shaka Smart said it's unlikely that he's able to return for the NIT. Freshman big man Jackson Hayes, who in that Kansas game in the Big 12 tournament banged knees with Devon Dotson, kind of a really awkward fluke play. Hayes was kind of moving on his own, and I believe Dotson was trying to chase a guy around to defend him, and they just kind of collided in a way that where Jackson was kind of moving horizontally, like in a slide, whereas Dotson was running like kind of north-south in a sprint. And Hayes got the worst of the fall. He fell to pain and it fell to the ground in pain immediately. He was looked at by Shaka Smart, the training staff, eventually limped off to the bench and then returned to the locker room just before that game ended. It happened really late in the game. I think there's only something like 3 minutes left in the game. So Shaka Smart said last night that Jackson Hayes will not play and was scheduled to see a specialist today on Monday just to get a further diagnosis or I guess a more specific diagnosis about the left knee injury. So is it a serious injury? You know, Smart was asked again if he's going to be able to play again this season. He said, quote, "I don't think so, but our biggest key with him has to be long-term health. If you went back and watched the play, it was kind of a fluke play. Our biggest key with him is long-term. Obviously, there won't be any type of rushing him." And then I asked him just kind of further clarification. Like, are we talking a significant long-term injury here? You know, because my head immediately thinks a guy falls like that, ACL or something like that. Smart said, quote, "I don't want to speculate until he sees the specialist, but I don't think it's going to be something that is long-term. I do think, unfortunately, it's probably going to keep him out of our upcoming games. But from what we know so far, it's not a worst-case scenario, and the MRA showed that." So that, to me, sounds a little promising as it relates to his long-term prognosis, because this is a guy that's in contention to be a lottery pick if he enters the NBA draft. So, I mean, it would really, really, really suck if Jackson Hayes was going to go onto the NBA and then he's dealing with this very significant knee injury. So it at least sounds like it's not one of those year long or 10 month long recovery process for an injury, a significant knee injury. It just sounds like it's going to keep him out of the NIT. And of course, you know, when Jackson came up, that led to the discussion about the NBA. And Smart basically said it's up to Hayes. You know, he said that Jackson has as good of a support system as he's ever seen. Just a really, really great family. He said that he doesn't get the sense that they're in a rush to go on to the NBA. So, and this is what Jackson basically said before the Big 12 tournament. You know, Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman had a tweet that, you know, asking Jackson about going pro or not directly going pro, but something along those lines. And Jackson basically said, like, you know, "The money's nice, but my family doesn't need it." And as to say, I'm not in a situation where people around me need me to rush to the NBA. They can take their time with this process. So hopefully Jackson's recovery is a speedy one. Hopefully it's not a significant injury. Hopefully we get some clarification soon as to the specific diagnosis of the injury. I'm assuming at the latest, we'll probably hear something after Tuesday's game against South Dakota State about what his outlook is moving forward. And, you know, then eventually once Texas season ends, that'll, you know, turn the page for Hayes and his family to start thinking about this NBA decision. So Jackson Hayes won't play in Tuesday's game against South Dakota State, and it sounds like he's not going to be able to return this season. Again, you're listening to the Dropping Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas from orangebloods.com, episode 32. Just going through some post-selection Sunday thoughts and notes. And I mean, can you sense the excitement in my voice? I've followed a team that went to the CBI. I didn't really cover it because I wasn't at the game, but I mean, I watched it, wrote about it, I think. That team was just a disaster, that Texas team that went to the CBI. I think that at the end of the season, some of the players and coaches on that team wanted to kill each other, and it led to some roster shuffling, and it led to a good season afterwards for Texas. But I can't say I've covered an NIT team or an NIT game. You know, you think when you cover a program like Texas and there's 68 teams in the NCAA tournament that they're just going to get in every year, but you can't really assume that anymore, and that's one of the things that Oshaga Smart said. He watched a selection show with his freshmen and kind of turned it into a freshman orientation because those guys have never watched that as a part of a basketball team. And he said some guys have never watched it, period. So it was an opportunity to kind of learn some lessons and talk through some things and things like that. And, you know, one of the things he brought up is, you know, I hope these guys understand it's not a given. Don't ever take for granted or don't ever not be excited about the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. And that's, this program desperately needs a few things. It really needs just a burning hatred for losing. Like, you know, I still think losing is accepted too much at Texas. Like, losing shouldn't be okay at Texas, especially when you're losing home games against the likes of Radford and VCU. And I know Providence has a kind of big name, a Big East team, but Providence and, you know, just kind of these inferior opponents, Georgia on the road. This program, I still think, is just too okay with losing. There's not enough guys that just absolutely despise and hate losing and then are embarrassed by it. And I wonder if not making the NCAA tournament will have that effect on the roster. You know, those guys should be embarrassed. They're you know, they were one of the more talented teams in the Big 12. They are picked to finish fourth in the league. They beat North Carolina earlier in the season, a North Carolina team that ended up being as a number one seed. Like, they were capable of achieving so much more than limping into the NIT as a number two seed with a 500 record. So maybe this is something that makes those guys feel just more of that burning hatred for losing, or that embarrassment of, we shouldn't have been in this position. We should have been in the NCAA tournament easily. You know, Texas should have been a 4 or 5 seed, really. If you look at their efficiency numbers, if you look at their schedule, if you look at some of the quality wins they had, should have been a 20, 21, hell, even a 22 win basketball team that has a favorable matchup to begin the NCAA tournament. And instead, it's a 16-16 team that's playing in the NIT. So we'll see how they respond to that. But I think Texas could really, really benefit from this being a wake-up call as to say, hey, this sucks. This is embarrassing. We should never be in this position. And we've accepted losing too much. 16 losses. Texas should never be in a position where they're losing 16 games in a regular season with a conference tournament. That's too many. So I'm curious to see if, you know, if Texas is going to get on the floor and just, you know, be there and get smacked by South Dakota State, or are they going to, you know, show some sense of pride and, you know, show some embarrassment and play up a level. So we'll find out. That's about as much as I can stretch in an NIT game from a, I guess, a preview type perspective or whole picture look. Like, really, I mean, the season is what it is. I don't think if Texas wins the NIT, it's going to change many Texas fans' opinion of Shaka Smart because, you know, the bar is the NCAA tournament, and now Texas hasn't met that bar two of the four seasons. You know, speaking of guys, you know, young players that could potentially learn some valuable things or get some much-needed confidence from the NIT experience, I think Matt Coleman is the main guy, and that's, you know, Shaka Smart said as much yesterday. He needs to play better. He did not finish the season well. He didn't play well in the Big 12 tournament. This is a guy that Shaka Smart recruited for years, since middle school, basically handed him the keys of the program, literally, you know, the guy that's supposed to be running the show to make everybody better, the guy that's supposed to hate losing and elevate everybody, and it just hasn't happened. And this sophomore season for him has just been very, very up and down, which surprised me. I expected a lot more from Coleman entering the season. And we've seen it at times. We've seen some extremely bright moments at times where he was really, really, really good. But we've just seen too much uneven play. And Shaka brought up an interesting point, and I hadn't really thought of this, is sometimes you get guys like Coleman that, you know, are sophomores in college, and they grew up playing AAU in USA Basketball in Jordan Brand Classic with a bunch of these guys that are already in the NBA. You know, Trae Young is having a hell of a rookie season in the NBA. Trae Young was on Team USA with Matt Coleman, and Matt Coleman beat and outplayed Trae Young in two games last year. So I think sometimes young players can kind of look to that and say, why aren't I there? Or just assume that they're going to get there. And I think Coleman kind of fought that a lot, whether it was just assuming he was going to be a much better player or, you know, the frustration with not playing well. I don't know what it is, but he just hasn't been enough of a quality player consistently for Texas. And I think this NIT could help him a lot. If, you know, if Texas goes on a run in this thing and he plays consistently well for, what, three, four, I think maybe five games. I think if you win five, you win the title or something like that. Honestly, like, I'm not going to lie, I've barely looked at the NIT bracket. It honestly took me like 30 minutes to find one. They didn't even have a Twitter account last night, which, yeah, catch the excitement about the NIT. But if Coleman plays well consistently to end this thing and Texas has some success, that could be a nice little momentum shift for him heading into the offseason, because Texas is not going to go anywhere as a program if he's not going to play better consistently. He's going to be the guy that drives that bus and get everybody to play at a higher level and really take ownership of results as a team. I think Courtney Ramey could provide some of that as well, even though Ramey's just a freshman. Ramey hates losing. I think Jackson Hayes does too. And there's some other guys that do as well. But those guys, I think Texas would benefit more if they had those guys' personality. Like, screw this shit. Like, we should not be losing. This is embarrassing. This sucks. I'm pissed off. There's just not enough of that from Texas. So this is an opportunity, I think, the NIT, if Matt Coleman can string together some good games consistently, could be a nice finish to the season, which his sophomore season, which has been a very up-and-down season thus far. From a personal perspective, the one redeeming quality about NIT basketball is it has a chance to – Texas has a chance to not totally redeem itself because, I mean, it's in the NIT. And, man, the headaches I've endured from covering this team and dealing with the reaction from Texas fans on the message boards, holy shit. Talk about a constant shitstorm of reaction from Texas fans. So this season can't totally redeem itself. That opportunity is sailed away. But if Texas can play its way to New York City and play in Madison Square Garden, and I can go cover those games, oh, that would just be such a, like, here's your present for covering this basketball team all year. You get to go spend a few days in New York City and watch some games in Madison Square Garden. Like, I am totally down for that. I feel like all the beat guys at Texas deserve a trip to New York City to cover some games, but more importantly, just be in New York City and go have some drinks and go have some fun and go take in the big city for 3-4 days or however many days would be there. So I am kind of crossing my fingers that this season gets extended, as awful as that sounds. Like, I you know, going to New York City would be fun. I love any reason to go to New York City. You know, I love any reason to go to Madison Square Garden and watch basketball games and go to my favorite sports bar in the world, Foley's, which is an amazing baseball bar. And opening day would be happening then. Oh, that just totally dawned on me. Like, I could go watch baseball at Foley's while opening day is going, or hell, maybe even go see a Mets game. Or I don't trust myself to go to a Yankees game because I'm a Red Sox fan, and I feel like at some point I might have a few cocktails and troll Yankees fans, and that might get me into some serious trouble up there because they don't play around with that stuff. But, I mean, if this season could somehow send me and beat writers that have covered this mess to New York City to end it, hey, that'd be a pretty cool ending to what has been a disastrous season so far. So as for the ending that many Texas fans are asking about for Shaka Smart, I, you know, Jeff Ketchum asked me this on the Ticket City podcast last week. We've talked about it on OrangeWhat.com a lot. Right now, I think he's coming back. We haven't heard enough that suggests he's going to move on. You know, this buyout is still lingering. It's like I think it's a little over $13 million. And everything that we've heard, everything that a lot of other people have reported, I mean, the Austin American Statesman reported this over the weekend that, you know, administrators said it, you know, they're committed to bringing Shaka Smart back regardless of NCAA tournament, NRT tournament. That buyout is, it's there. It's the gigantic elephant in the room, and that elephant is not budging. And it's not ever out of sight for the people that make those decisions. So that's kind of where it is right now. You know, and we mentioned this on the Ticket City podcast. I think the only way, at least right now, I say right now because coaching carousels are really, really weird. It's hard to ever say anything is truly definitive. And we don't, you know, Chris Del Conte has never been in this situation at Texas before. And so we don't exactly know how he operates in these situations. Although from everything we've heard, again, the buyout is like basically like, no, I don't want any part of paying that kind of money to get rid of a basketball coach at Texas, where we know football is king. So I think the only likelihood that there could be somebody else running the Texas program is if Shaka Smart looks in the mirror and decides, you know what, I want to go somewhere else. And that would really take the perfect job opportunity opening and them having interest in all of those things. So until anything changes, I just, you know, that's just where it is right now with Texas basketball. It's what we've been saying for, feels like a month now, even most recently as the last couple weeks. It'll be something that we follow once the season ends because Shaka Smart is 66-66 at Texas, 4 years into this thing, and Texas is playing in NIT. So that alone says that you should probably follow anything and everything as it relates to the status of the head coach of the basketball program, because clearly it's been an underachieving 2018-19 season, certainly, which has further helped paint this picture of just the expectations not being met at Texas under Shaka Smart yet. So if you're filling out an NCAA tournament bracket, because many of you, I suspect, are not going to fill out an NIT bracket, I can't blame you. It takes a while to even find one. But if you're looking for some early pointers about the NCAA tournament bracket, and I just began poring over it some. My Sunday was hectic, you know, covering a baseball game, then following the selection stuff, then the NIT stuff, then going over for a press conference and getting back home at 10 p.m. Last night. So I haven't had an opportunity to really dive into the bracket like I normally want to. And also part of that, too, is my interest in college basketball as a whole has just really been dinged the last year, couple years. The product just isn't as good. And I know once a tournament gets going, I'll be totally invested with my bracket and everything like that. But I feel like the one way to get interested more in sports like that is the gambling component of it. It's one of the reasons why I think the NFL is so popular is fantasy football. Everybody plays fantasy football. So I definitely will fill in a bracket. And I credit Scott Phillips, my buddy that does some writing for NBC Sports, does a lot of things in Chicago for high school basketball, covers a bunch of AAU events and things like that, a longtime basketball guy who I bump into at a lot of AAU stuff. And he like basically shames people into only making one bracket. And it worked on me. I used to be a multi-bracket guy because I'd always have a few sleepers or national championship winners that I wanted to get on paper because I was so strongly convinced about. But I'm just a one-bracket guy now. So I don't have any specific teams yet, but a few pointers that I always go by. Always look for teams that have a really good veteran lead guard. You know, a guard that can take over a game late. Like, I know that Texas fans get fixated on just Texas and oftentimes have a lot of frustrations about its offense late in games. The reality is 99% of these college programs, yes, that is an estimate from the top of my head just based on all the basketball I watch. 99% of these programs run the same stuff at the end of the game. They put the ball in the guard's hands, their best guard, and they either give them a ball screen or they spread ISO and they just let them go make plays. It's the reason, you know, Kansas has been so good over the years. Devontae Graham, Frank Mason, all of those guys. So look for those programs that have a junior or senior proven player. Purdue's a good example with Carson Edwards. a guy, you know, Texas actually beat this season, which, you know, another one of those confusing results for the Longhorns. But guys like that, that are veteran players, they're proven even better if they have NCAA tournament experience, but they're the kind of player that just go win a basketball game late, because that matters so much in the NCAA tournament. You've got to go you got to have a guy that can go get you a bucket when the game gets tense and sloppy and muddy and slow down the stretch of a tight basketball game. Look for those teams that have that guard that can go get them a bucket and win a game. I mean, that's normally where I start right there, is just the experience factor specifically with the guards. And then look, too, at kind of the stylistic matchups. You know, I was thinking back to a couple years ago when West Virginia was really, really good, but they got matched up with Stephen F. Austin in the first round. Well, Stephen F. Austin played a similar style, so they weren't going to be bothered by, you know, the pressing nature of West Virginia and the way it attacks people. And sure enough, Stephen F. Austin pulled the upset. So look at those teams that maybe have unique styles and see how they match up with their opponent. You know, I remember a couple years ago when Yale upset Baylor. Baylor just made, you know, made its mark rebounding on one end, but on the other end it was really weak. And Yale was one of the best rebounding teams in the country, specifically like rebounding. They either call it margin or differential. It's one of the stats I pay close attention to, along with the rebounding percentages. Yale was one of the best rebounding teams in the country. So that there was going to be one end of the floor where Yale could have a lot of success against Baylor. I think it was offensive rebounding by Yale. And sure enough, Yale pulled off the upset. So look for those little components where some teams might have a huge advantage over somebody, whether it's rebounding. You know, if you get a really good three-point shooting team matched up against a bad three-point percentage defense, if you get a team that lives at the free throw line matched up with a team that fouls a lot, if you get a team that plays a bunch of zone matched up with a team that can shoot the ball well or has good assist numbers or things like that, look for those kinds of components when filling out your bracket. And two, one thing I always tell people is if you think a team's going to get upset, like if you think, I don't know, let's just use Tennessee, for example. If you're convinced that Tennessee is just not going to make the Final Four, whether it's something about the draw, something about the team, something about the coach, you know, Rick Barnes has struggled in the NCAA tournament before. Something about Tennessee says, you know what, I am just totally convinced this team is not going to make the Final Four. I don't even think they're going to make the Elite Eight. I think they're going to be out before the Elite Eight. If you think that, put them out early. Put them out early because, you know, you're not going to gain a bunch of points from them later in the bracket if you think they're not going to reach a certain point. So put them out earlier and be more aggressive with those upsets in those potential matchups and pushing those teams through, whether it's a team that could potentially match up with Tennessee in a Sweet 16 or around a 32 game, or maybe even you're just going to pick a first-round upset and like that team a little bit moving forward to the Sweet 16, don't be hesitant to be aggressive with picking those upsets if you're convinced one of those top teams is just not going to make it that deep into the tournament. You know, Virginia for me is an example. You know, I had them out early last year because stylistically I just don't like the style they play for tournament basketball, because I feel like they play such a slow tempo that they could be kicking the shit out of somebody and only be up 12 points. Well, what if a team, you know, forces a turnover and makes some bad shots, you know, takes some contested shots that go in and just get a little hot, and all of a sudden they're down 4 or 5 points. Whereas, you know, a team like North Carolina that plays a very up and down, high possession game, when they're blowing somebody out, they're blowing somebody out by like 25 points. So Virginia's a team that, to me, I put them out early last year just because I was like, they're not going to be in my Final Four. I've got to put them out early. The interesting thing about Virginia now is I feel like it's a good opportunity to pick them, because I think the majority of fans filling out a bracket are not going to pick them through because of what happened to them last year in a 116 game. So that's another thing to keep in mind, is the goal is to win your bracket pool. It's not to pick the most right games, if that makes sense. Sure, picking the most right games helps, but in the end, you've got to have those teams still standing in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, and then you obviously get so many points for a national championship pick. So if you're in a bracket where you think a lot of people are going to pick Duke, let's just say, for example, you're in a bracket that doesn't include a bunch of North Carolina fans or anti-Duke people, and you think a lot of people are going to pick Duke. I think Duke is going to be by far the most popular pick to win the national championship. It might end up being the most popular pick to win the title that we've seen in a long, long time from a bracket perspective, and rightfully so. They're really, really, really good basketball team. So if you're convinced that everybody in your bracket for the most part is going to pick Duke, and you really, really like a team that you're convinced, or maybe it's two teams that you're convinced are going to get to the Final Four and potentially win the national championship, you have to fade Duke. And fade meaning purposely not pick them to win the national championship, because so many other people in your bracket are going to do that. Therefore, if you're right and Duke doesn't win the national championship and you get that Final Four right, or you get that national champion right, chances are you're going to win your bracket, because you've gained so many more points as an advantage by not picking Duke, and so much of your bracket had Duke as a national champion. So that's, you know, I always this is one thing I tell myself when filling out brackets, is it's the objective is to win the bracket. It's not to be the most accurate. You know, I personally think Duke has the best chance of winning the national title. I think they're awesome. They play defense. They have the best player in the tournament. They can shoot. They can defend. They've got a good point guard. They've got depth. Like, they really have it all, besides the experiment aspect. So I think they've got as good a chance as anybody to win the national title. But I'm probably not going to pick them to win the national title, because I want to win my bracket. And I think the only way to do that is if you nail the Final Four, or get 3 out of 4 or even 2 out of 4, and you pick a team that gets to the national championship game or wins the national championship, then you put yourself in a really good position to win your NCAA tournament bracket pool. And that ultimately is what we all want, whether it's money, bragging rights, my wife's company does like Amex points or things like that. You want to win. That's the goal. You don't want to be right. You want to win. You know, you want the money. You don't want the satisfaction of having the most correct picks and then finishing second in your bracket pool and not winning anything. So with that, we will wrap up episode 32 of the Drop of Dimes podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas from orangebloods.com. And my dog is making some noise. He just came in from the backyard. Beautiful day in Austin, Texas. I'm not expecting a beautiful scene in the Irwin Center Tuesday night for an NIT game. We will see what happens with the Longhorns. Do they want to be there? Do they want to end their season on a high note and keep extending their season? I don't know. We'll find out how they react to playing in the NIT against a South Dakota State team that can really, really shoot the basketball. So until then, good luck filling out your brackets. I hope to have another podcast soon, just with some of my favorite either upset picks or sleepers or favorites or something like that about the bracket, because I will spend a lot of time pouring into that. So hopefully I get around to that in enough time to get that up on theyak.com before the games start. But until then, have a great week. Good luck picking your teams in your tournament bracket. I hope you win a lot of money, and take care.